Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, y'all. It's a Saturday. It's a Saturday. We are back with the number one show on Blog Talk Radio, You Up Radio. And I got some of the crew in the building with me today. Brother Will McKee, are you up?
Hey, Brother Ben, I'm up like birds and positive words. What's good with everybody? We the best. Oh, I stole that from college. My fault.
I feel you. How about you, Brother D? You up?
I'm getting there. But yeah, I'm up. So technically, is the right answer.
In the words of the celebrity group Three Stacks, man, long nights, early mornings. I'm going to leave it at that. But anyway.
Three Stacks.
Anyway, we got a great show to kick off this morning. We're going to jump right into it, and later on in the show we'll have our media specialist, Brother J.C. Polk, hopefully joining us today, as well as Dr. Douglas. So we're going to get them locked in. But let's start with what's been hovering around the media today, especially for us locally in the Carolinas. It's been this back and forth with Kelvin Benjamin versus Cam Newton. And as you know, Kelvin made some statements to the media pretty much about where he would be as a receiver in the game had he not spent those years in Carolina playing with Cam, who wasn't accurate and wasn't developed. And he feels like Cam might be the reason why he's not one of the top talked about receivers in the game. And as you know, they had a preseason matchup on Wednesday. And where the media was following them around, and it looked like Cam was trying to, you know, catch up with Benjamin. Be like, hey, man, I'm here, man. What's up, man? Why all this? And it went back and forth. I'm going to kind of let Brother McKee dive into it because he kind of saw it a little more than I did. I didn't see the actual preseason game stuff. I just know about the feud. So, Brother McKee, go into it a little bit. You up?
Well, I got to take a page out of primetime Deion Sanders' book and say, Cam, oh, Cam. So anybody that's a Carolina Panther, if you watch NFL Network, you can relate to what I just said. Now, anybody that's a Carolina Panther knows that there's always a couple stories with the Panthers. There's the Panthers, and then there's the Cam Newton watch, because Cam is a unique individual from his dress all the way to how he approaches the position of quarterback. And he has an approach to the position that's probably never been taken before, and even with whether it was celebration or whatever. So to your point, for the point that happened on the field, Brother Ben and Brother D, and the larger point of how we settle people talking behind our backs or going to the media or talking to our relatives about us. There was a situation on the field, but there was also a situation for the broader community. So it was back and forth, as you said, on ESPN on whether he handled that as the leader of a team should, or should he have been, quote-unquote, bigger than the situation, has not even addressed it. I kind of think you could see it both ways. You know, would you see it? We talked about it in production with Tom Brady have done that. Which that means that's the standard way to how to handle it. But we're just comparing them with some of the greats. Would they have gone up and confronted a former teammate like that? Some would say probably not. But in a communal sense, when you have a problem with someone and they say something that they didn't say to you, you could argue that the way of integrity would be to approach that person one-on-one without, you know, a lot of witnesses. Just, hey, me and you, what do you mean by that? Why didn't you say that to me? So in that respect, I see Cam's point, and I'll leave it right there for the team.
So when I found out what this is about, I thought funniest thing ever. Because all right, so here's the thing. The only reason this is a part of this is the story is because it's Cam Newton, and some of it will be played as the big black scary guy. Because Cam's much bigger than Kelvin Benjamin. Kelvin Benjamin's not small. And I noticed that when I watched the video. But I think, like you said, McKee, the best way to confront somebody is directly. And that's what Cam Newton did. Now, it wasn't in a sense of Cam's out there trying to fight him, but what Cam did do was he did approach him and say, hey, look, you said this to somebody else. Why couldn't you say it to me, which would have been the first place you would want to express your sentiment of such a nature for which you just expressed to the world. So I see it from that perspective, and I don't have a problem with it. Like you said, would other quarterbacks have done that? Probably not. There are a few that I can think of that would have, but this is more of a Cam Newton's a different breed of quarterback. And I don't have a problem with what he did at all, no more than I would have had a problem with Tom Brady had he did it. But what I would say is I'm gonna slide away from the Cam Newton, whether he should have approached Kelvin Benjamin or not. And I'm going to start with Kelvin Benjamin because the comment should have been made. It should not have been made. I'm going to tell you why. Primarily because I don't know how accurate Kelvin Benjamin wants any quarterback to be. Kelvin Benjamin dropped more touchdown passes than he caught. So when he says accuracy, I'm wondering if Cam was saying, like, what do you mean by accuracy? Do you want me to hit you? Like, you want me to place the ball in your hands? Like, you want me to walk to you and hand it to you so you can catch it? Like, was that the way I was supposed to make it? And because that's what I found more stunning is if you have two eyes and can see and you watch Kelvin Benjamin play during his years with the Carolina Panthers, it's not fabricating to say that Kelvin Benjamin dropped a lot of passes that hit him directly in the hand of Kelvin Benjamin. So it's man, it was one of the more interesting things about that. I think people are having the wrong conversation. Not that Cam approached him, because hey, that's regular. That's not a big thing. That's how you're supposed to do it. But let's start with Kelvin Benjamin. He wasn't supposed to say it because he had too many passes to hit him directly square in the numbers, and he dropped them. So Let me comment to that.
Let me comment to that. And I agree with one thing, too. Not even to get on this play, but I think it's kind of tough when you know of all the scrutiny Cam has gotten about that. You can even go in and say is most black quarterbacks or even athletic quarterbacks, as we call them, because you could throw Tebow into that situation with athletic quarterbacks that kind of dual threats, so to speak, has always been accuracy, ability to throw. But I just think it's just kind of disingenuous. I think we have to be more cognizant of that. And that's why I'm not mad that Cam was like, hey, man, you know, what's up, man? Why didn't you say some of these things to me? Because, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know what I go through and all this, you know. It's sort of like you taking a bitterness with the whole scheme of things, and now you pinpoint me because I'm the leader. But, you know, because I do think Cam works on his craft. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a guy that doesn't try to be the best he could be or work hard at his craft. You know, so I think with that, and he's gotten his team to several successful seasons. So I don't think one, which didn't include you, Kelvin Benjamin. So, you know, I kind of look at it like, you know, why not give him the respect, Kelvin, and just holler at him. So we're going to – let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break, and then I think we're going to have Doc in the building when we come back. We'll take a quick break. We'll welcome Doc, and then we'll go keep going into this. You Up Radio. Let's take a brief one. Back, You Up Radio, LA. Y'all don't hear Steve in the back. Let's welcome the lady of the house,
come on,
Dr. Nyssa Douglas. Hey, I got to do a little something. What's up, Doc? You up?
Good morning, y'all. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Sorry, I'm a little tardy for the party.
Oh, it's all good, as long as you made it.
Hold up.
But, Doc, let me cue you in because I want to get your thoughts on this. I don't know if you've been following, you know, the situation between Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin with the things that Kelvin Benjamin kind of said. In a nutshell, he just said he felt had he been with other quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, somebody else, he probably would have been in a better place in his career. So he kind of put Cam's troubles with accuracy and stuff have kind of slowed his progression. And then, you know, they played each other in the preseason, and Cam kind of following Benjamin, trying to get up with him to be like, yo, what's up, man? Why is this? And then Benjamin kind of didn't want no pause of it. And then when they finally did, you know, Cam kind of blew it off like whatever. Let's talk about, I want your thoughts on conflict resolution and handling that situation. Go ahead, Doc, you up.
Well, I did hear a little bit about it. I saw Shannon Sharpe's commentary on ESPN, and so then I saw the video where Cam had walked up to the guy and was trying to talk to him on handling the situation. But as far as nowadays, people handle conflict over the internet for everybody to see. And so when you do that, everybody has a say-so. Everybody has an opinion of how you should do it, why you should do it, when you should do it, all of that. But I think it was very admirable of Cam to, you know, walk up to him and be like, look, you know, we could have had this conversation instead of you putting this on blast and letting everybody know. Like, if you felt the way, you should have let me know. Because if we probably could have changed something during the season had you come to me and explain your reason behind what you said. And so I think it's very immature of a person to, you know, point the finger at somebody for you not being successful on the field. And so a lot of times, even though the quarterback is the leader and the quarterback calls the plays, he has to listen to somebody else.
Yeah.
And so if you showing your worth on the field during practice and doing scrimmaging and all of that, then the offensive coordinator would tell y'all they would have plays designed to give him the ball or whatever. But
right.
You know, you can't blame the quarterback for not throwing the ball to you if you ain't part of the play. But it is his job to look for you if the play is not going to work. You know what I mean? So
now that's the position that I took, which is he seems to be blaming Cam for his inability to catch pass. Because it's one thing to say, all right, so here's the Captain Obvious statement that he made. I would have had a better career if I had played with Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. Guess what, Kelvin? Me too. Like anybody else who played in the NFL would have had better chances of winning if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback or if you playing for the New England Patriots. Like, that's Captain Obvious statements that you did, but it was an obvious opportunity to take a dig. But the problem is Kelvin Benjamin making these? If this was a Greg Olsen comment, it would have been more telling to me because it would have been like, ooh. Greg Olsen's a bad dude. So if Greg Olsen was out there being underthrown passes a lot and not catching the passes that were thrown to him because they were too off target, then it would be like, man, that looks bad. But it's Kelvin Benjamin. If you had two eyes and can see and watch 80% of Kelvin Benjamin's games, you knew the most frustrating thing to watch when Kelvin Benjamin played was how many passes he was going to drop. Like, that would be the side bet if you were in a bar. How many touchdowns will he drop today? Because you couldn't get more accurate with what he was doing. And it sounds like instead of taking ownership, he's looking for somebody else to blame. And that's particularly what I don't like about the comment.
That's usually what happened to people who sorry. I mean, people who...
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say is people always got to blame somebody else for them not succeeding in whatever field it is, whether it's your boss, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's the point guard, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you was doing what you're supposed to do, you know, why are you blaming other people for you not being on the field? Like, his accuracy. No, it's your hands. Get your hands together and work on that first.
You shouldn't be trying to pull people out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, nowadays, you don't be trying to throw the people under the bus because that can come back to bite you. So even if, what if Carolina said, oh, we're going to trade you to another team, and the same thing happened on the other team, you going to blame that quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And the piece that he said allegedly about his knowledge, that showed you his lack of, as you said, being his sensibility on the African-American quarterback. You know, okay, accuracy, I agree with y'all. That ain't even that good of a statement. But when he drifts in and says he didn't have the knowledge base to be a great NFL quarterback, now you have no awareness of what African-American quarterbacks have fought against.
Yeah,
true. You know, come on.
True.
He needs to get
out your emotions
and play the game. Get out your feelings, get out your emotions and play the game. Stop blaming people.
And that's a huge reason why he shouldn't have made the comments. But I tell you what, I think after the snap of any game, Cam Newton, 10 times in a game, could have snapped a ball, turned around, put that ball in a box, attached a FedEx label to it, gave it to a FedEx driver. The FedEx driver could have drove it from the 35-yard line into the end zone and hand-delivered it to Kelvin Benjamin. And 10 times, out of 10 times, I believe he would have still dropped 5.
That's messed up.
Because he cannot, like, I'm telling you, this one for me as a Carolina Panther fan is more or less about who it's coming from. And it's like, oh my God, I can't believe he, of all people, is the one that said, if I had a better quarterback, I would have had a better career. Yeah, probably, Kelvin. But come on.
Well, if you felt that way, you should have gotten out your contract. You should have gotten out your contract somehow. You can't blame the quarterback. He ultimately don't call the plays. He don't,
and,
you don't make the club.
And there's
to
a reason. And we know how people are short-lived with quarterbacks nowadays. Like, if it was all Cam, I think the Panthers would have made moves by now to at least bring a younger guy in or something. So it makes you wonder, like, Kelvin, you the one that got dealt. The year without you, we have a great year. So let's
the guy has been the MVP. The guy's been the MVP.
He's been MVP. So look, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break, and maybe this will go into our next segment. We're going to go media, social versus network. Let's take a break. Super producer, do your thing. You are radio, baby.
Yes, sir.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. So let's look at, we were talking about a little bit briefly, and this may feed into all the coverage we get. We were talking about the new mediums nowadays with, you have network, traditional, so to speak, TV, versus now social media and TV. As you know, social media now has more things with hangouts on air, Facebook Live, Instagram Live. Everybody's moving to these platforms and live streaming. Everybody's moving to these platforms. We were talking about the impact of that versus like traditional TV. Like, we know the sitcoms and stuff still have some rules, but or still have some reign because people love comedies and dramas and some reality shows, but are we moving more towards this network or social media avenue to do more television or programming? McKee, I'm going to swing it to you because, you know, we were talking about that and you had some discussions with Brother J.C. Pope. Like, what's your thoughts? You up?
I don't want to steal Dean's thunder, and I won't, but you know, because he's got some very interesting insights on this, and Doc just mentioned something on this that was very good too. But you know what the internet in general, all SGA when you look at social media is a progeny of the internet, and what the internet did was empowered the everyday person. So where before the internet, could you send something to 700 people free of charge? So old SGA president at North Carolina A&T had made a statement like years before we even had email addresses. He was talking about, hey, the information superhighway will empower the poor person that's entrepreneurial. And, you know, I would kind of add a caveat that a great person would say, if you got something to drive on the information superhighway, you still got to have a product. And just briefly to say that social media has kind of democratized advertising and marketing and getting your brand out there, because with a Facebook page, a Twitter account, and a Snapchat or something, you can have a presence, and if you put up a good YouTube video that goes viral, that's something you could never do before all of this came to be. So that
and let me say this, and I'm going to let you get at it, Brother D, because you're in that field. But, I mean, if you look at it, when you look at the average adult, like we work 8 hours, then we have to do whatever if we have families and stuff. You look at, like, it's tough to sit down and watch a TV program rather than sit there with your phone between breaks and see something pop up on Facebook or Instagram. So it's access as well. Like, it's easier to access. So, you know, that's just an interesting thought. But go ahead, Brother D. Jump on that. I know you want to get at that.
Yeah, so it becomes an interesting topic, but when you start talking about what's that old adage, if you really want to know what's going on, follow the money. And when you start looking into entertainment and network, there's really like a few major players, and they pretty much own everything. So so while we look at the growth of media and the different platforms for which we consume our media, there it becomes interesting where people are saying, all right, where do we, like, how does that affect television? Well, they have smart TVs, and every media company has their own network streaming format. So since Hulu, CBS has gone, you know what, if you have internet and a smart TV or smart device, then yeah, you can continue to watch our program and streaming if you want to. But it won't replace television for the simple fact that there's too many uncertainties with the internet and that form of media. And the different devices
you
can carry it on, but
let me ask
TV,
you this.
Network TV always stand.
Let me ask you this though: do you think there'll be a conflict between, because you know, like you said, a lot of the major networks and stuff are utilizing some of these social media outlets? Do you ever see a conflict of rising? Because it's like, I'm gonna be honest with you. It's cheaper for me just to rely on my internet and maybe get a Fire Stick and pick up the channels compared to buying a package with your cable company or whatever. Even, you know, will that ever contradict, like, or will it hurt the industry? Like, I don't know if it's more advantageous now, but I think people are moving more to those aspects, like Fire Stick, smart TVs. Like, what's your thought? Do you ever think it'll end up in conflicting states?
I don't think so, because because they're all essentially the same device. So a television is what smartphones and tablets are, smaller versions of television from a technology standpoint. They just don't have the same signals embedded in them, and they're learning different ways to embed those signals into TV. But in terms of network television, if it does, it'll be a long time before it does, because there's already the network system set up to run that, and it's going to be harder for people to get away from. And I think by the time we get to a point to where we're worried about the internet streaming devices affecting network television, we'll all be dead and gone, because it's too big to fail, especially right now. And right every TV giant owns just about every streaming media source. So you'll see the
that
same
goes
people,
back.
Even though you don't realize.
Well, let me see before. Let me do this real quick, because we got about a minute left. I don't know if y'all saw in the description, my live listeners, 30 minutes today. Looks like we may go over a few, but you can catch it on the upload. But live listeners, it may be going out in the next few seconds. But Dot, real quick, did you want to weigh in on that? Did you have any thoughts on that as we wind down this? Those mediums.
I just want to say it's so many different shows out there, and I think that it's not. I don't see it affecting network television as of yet, because there are so many different shows and Netflix outlets like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. They're giving those people opportunities to showcase their talent and showcase their movies, because truth be told, ABC, CBS, all the network shows are not, they turn down so many different scripts every single day that it allows a Netflix or a Hulu to pick up those scripts and show that they give those people chances. Now, they may not give them a lot of money, but they give those people chances, and they just, they're taking more risks than the network television. Like, Netflix is showing so many more minority, you know, pilots and minority screenplays and all that, which CBS and the other networks didn't want to do. They didn't want to show certain TV shows.
Well,
let me
ask this, and I'm sorry to be Kanye, but I want to get y'all's thoughts on this, because, and this is why I threw that at D too, Doc, and you brought up that great point. Like, what the networks are turning around, now you've got entities like Netflix and Stars and all these that are putting these shows out that they may stay away from, and people tune into them. Like, D, your favorite shows, do they come on network television? Doc, do your favorite shows come on next? D, I've heard you talk about Power.
I would say it's an even split, but it's probably about 66-33, or 66-34, where 66% of the shows that I watch religiously are on network television.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On cable.
Okay. Because for me, and I don't know about you, John, I'll let you finish. Like, I don't watch a lot of stuff, but if I do, a lot of them are Netflix documentaries or something, or movies or something. You know what I'm saying? I don't watch a lot of network, some local stuff, but I just, that's interesting to me, because I feel like people are moving more towards those series on these entities. Go ahead, though, Doc. Finish, I'm sorry.
I think they are, too. Just the younger people who don't subscribe to the whole cable bill. You know, they want to be able to watch.
I don't either.
Watch on their device. So, and it's very understandable, because there's some good shows. Like, you never know what you can find on Netflix, and you never know what you can find on Hulu. Netflix in particular. I watch Netflix every single day, because there's always something coming out every Friday, something new that, you know, you could say, you can give a chance to it. You could look at it like, if you like it, you can just turn to something else. If you don't, you know, whatever.
Yeah, true. And for $10 a month, man, I got 3 Dave Chappelle specials. I got a Chris Rock special, Chris Tucker. I mean, like, it's
have certain network and a certain network shows that run on, which is the reason why I said
Netflix.
They're too big to fail, because the network shows run on Netflix, they run on Amazon Prime, they run on Hulu, they run on Crackle.
Yeah.
They run on that, like, it's a lot of them that exist, and the network isn't going anywhere, because the network is what created the opportunity for this form of media to exist.
To exist, because at first, Netflix was just a DVD.
I feel you, because I'm a big fan of public broadcasting. I just want y'all to know that I'm a big fan of. But go ahead.
Well, Netflix started off as just a DVD service instead, you know, just in response to not going to, Blockbuster. But then when they started streaming, that's when the money started coming in. Not just streaming, they started creating their own movies, and so funding these movies. But with Hulu, whatever you miss on network television, you can watch it on Hulu. So without network television, Hulu wouldn't be where it's at, honestly.
Exactly.
True.
So you find.
Go ahead, McKee.
You find the networks trying to make the paradigm shift for what Doc mentioned earlier, this term called digital native and digital immigrant. And with the digital native being that person that was born at an age where they grew up with technology and tablets and laptops and phone and smartphones. And they, as she said, they seek their everything out through these devices. And take down, but just briefly, I did want to say too that, yeah, like D said, take down the networks, probably not, but empowerment of the under-resourced average citizen, I think social media does that. There was a group in Greensboro, North Carolina, that started a show called The Borough, and they put it on their Facebook page, about 12 episodes, and how many of a friends they have and who told a friend, they saw it. So when could you do that ever in history without a ton of money? So there's opportunity still in social media if you're trying to get your thing out there.
True that. That's the beauty of it. I like how they create opportunities for people who otherwise would struggle trying to get their work at published or get their work out there. Like even Issa Rae started on YouTube, Aqua Black Girl. And then she went from there to HBO. So I mean, it's opportunity. It's creating opportunity. It's making millionaires. That's what it's doing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
True that. Powerful. And that's interesting, and I wish we could have got Brother Polk on and talk a little more from the behind-the-scenes perspective. But powerful conversation. But before we get out of here, let me go to the lady of the house. Any final thoughts or anything going on this weekend you want to lift up, Doc?
Final thoughts? Just continue to love yourself and be encouraged. I was very discouraged toward the end of the week, and just surround yourself by people that can support you and encourage you to keep going. You know, because when those doors be closing, they close for a reason, not because you didn't have the opportunity, you wasn't qualified to walk through that door, but because there's a reason. Maybe it's something that, you know, God doesn't want you to get involved in. And so I just learned that, like, actually earlier this morning when I was on the phone. So I'm very thankful for the doors to be closed, but I'm also thankful for those doors that's about to be open. So just to encourage everybody.
All right. Brother McKee. Appreciate that. Any final thoughts or anything you want to lift up that's going on?
Yeah, I'll just feed off that what Doc just said. Be encouraged and don't give up on your dream. And if you need some additional encouragement with that, on this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. If you're in Greensboro, North Carolina, on Spectrum TV Channel 8, if you're online at GCTV Vibit, and come to our U Up page and you'll see the link. We're going to have a professional world-ranked tennis player, Andrew Parks Carter, who's in the University of Louisville Hall of Fame and playing on the ATP tennis tour and in a little club with the Williams sisters with black tennis players. So tune in 4:30 p.m.
That's
Sunday, and you're going to see that you too can accomplish a dream.
What high school did he go to? Anyway, Brother D, appreciate that. Brother D, what?
Providence Baptist Church.
No. You know how I'm going. Brother D, you got to say you want to lift up or any final thoughts?
Nothing necessarily that comes to mind other than football season is approaching, and there are people who are still deciding to not watch take a stance. And there's people that are also deciding that they want to go ahead and continue to watch football. I just want to say to everybody, regardless of what side you on, let's not judge each other for whichever side you decide to take. Take your stance and move on. But I know there's been a lot of judgment between the people who are trying to justify why they are watching to the people who decided they are not. And I think that that's about, man, and the support needs to go both ways. I'm not watching this season, but that don't mean I'm coming to your Super Bowl party kicking down the big screen TV. So let's respect each other and support regardless of what our personal feelings are.
No doubt.
Well, that's a whole show right there, boy. That's
yeah,
a whole
it is.
Show.
So we can get into that next week. But before I say my final thoughts, let me just let everyone know we're doing 30 minutes as we're transitioning out because we're looking to move to another platform shortly in addition to maybe. We won't Blog Talk to shut me down right now, but we're trying to make a transition, so we're kind of fading out. Not saying totally leaving, but we're making a transition, so we just want to say that. But final thoughts, just want to thank everybody for listening. Just keep supporting. Check out the U Up Radio page on Facebook. We're on all social platforms, U Up Radio. UUpRadio@gmail.com if you got some thoughts or just want to send some support. And I just want to thank the crew for continuing to do it and making this a great experience for all of us. So with that, please go back and check out what you missed. And we thank you again. You Up Radio, we on the move, baby.
Yes, sir.